Well, as you know, we have been studying in connection with the season of the year that involves the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been looking at some of these things from the Gospel of Matthew. And so we're turning back into Matthew's Gospel again today. We're taking it section by section here, and we're turning to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, you remember in our last study that we had Jesus arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now we continue from that point on here. Starting with verse 57, Matthew 26, verse 57. And those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, and as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priest and the whole council were seeking false witnesses against Jesus, and that they might put him to death. But they found none. Though many false witnesses came forward, at least two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God to tell us if you are Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now learned his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face, they struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ, who is it that struck you?" And so there we go thus far this morning with our story of the early part of one of Jesus' trials. When you study the Gospels very carefully, you discover that Jesus went through 6 different trials. And the first one was before Annas, who was the former high priest. This was a very short one. You find it in John 18. But then in Matthew chapters 26 and 27, we have 2 more trials, one before Caiaphas and one before the Sanhedrin. Then later on in the study of the Gospels, if you read further, in John 18, in Luke 23, and in also John 18 again and 19, we find Jesus on trial before Pilate, before Herod, and then once again before Pilate a second time. Those are the 6 trials that Jesus went through. As we look at our story today in Matthew, we're on the first trial here, or the middle one, you might say, the short one before Annas. That was a very quick one. But the one before Caiaphas was much more extensive, and we're going to look at that today because it's a tragic miscarriage of justice, and yet it's something that shows very plainly the importance of what Jesus did for us in dying on Calvary. We look here and we see that the main player that is mentioned in this portion of Scripture is the man Caiaphas. He is the official ruling high priest at that time. Annas, the one who was first mentioned, ruled between A.D. 6 and A.D. 15. However, after a few years, A.D. 18 through 36, Caiaphas was the son-in-law of Annas, and he was the one who followed after Annas as the high priest. The thing we want to remember about both of these men, Annas and also Caiaphas, is that both of these people are Sadducees. Now, you know, the little joke that people sometimes make, and they say, well, Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. That's why they were sad, you see. They didn't know the truth about these things. They also didn't believe in the existence of the spirit world. They also did not believe in the inspiration of the Old Testament except for the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They believed those were inspired of God. The rest of the Old Testament was not believed to be divinely inspired. So these people were very much heretics, very much false teachers, and yet here they were at one of the highest spots in all of the religious world of Judaism. Now, you notice that Caiaphas is busy getting ready for this trial here, but one of the first things that he wants to do is secure some good false witnesses, so that he can bring Jesus to conviction and lead to his death. Can you imagine that? Here's a man whose whole calling in life is to be the high priest and to secure true justice. But he's not interested in true justice. Did you notice that they are searching for what? Many false witnesses. And the interesting thing was that every time they would bring another witness forward and say, well, I think we found somebody that what he's going to say, I think that will stick. That will matter. You know what? They found out time after time after time that none of the false claims that these people were making truly could be fulfilled. And so this is something that is the beginning of the tragic miscarriage of justice here, when they went out looking not for true witnesses, but they went out looking for false witnesses so that they could convict Jesus and sentence him to their death. Finally, after much searching, and all the members of the Sanhedrin had been gathered together there, they were now ready to go at it more intensely. And they were going to try to find some way to put Jesus, you know, in a situation where he would have to be declared to be fitting to be put to death. So what happens? They can't find any witnesses at all. So the first thing that they do is somebody comes forward and says, I know something that he said that shows that he is a false witness. And they said, well, what was that? They said, well, Jesus, we remember, back several years ago, they went back, by the way, about 3 years ago to come up with this claim. He declared that he would destroy the temple, and that after 3 days, he would raise it back up again 3 days later. Now, that wasn't even talking about a building. It wasn't talking about the temple building. Jesus was talking about what? Talking about his physical body. Jesus was telling people, the day is going to come when I'm going to be delivered up and I'm going to be put to death, and yet 3 days later I'm going to rise from the dead, and you'll see that this body is going to come forth as a new and glorified body. This is something, of course, that they did not understand, these false teachers, these Sanhedrin leaders. They didn't understand what he was saying there. So they thought, well, we've got definitely a charge against him. He just said that he was going to destroy the temple and raise it up again in 3 days. The sad thing about all of this was the simple fact that they totally misunderstood what he was saying. But on top of that, Jesus Christ knew that there was nothing to the charge, and so what did he do? He didn't even bother to answer. He didn't even bother to reply to them. Now let me show you how important this really was, this charge. You remember in the Bible that there was a man later on in New Testament history who was put to death, and his name was Stephen. One of the reasons why Stephen would later be charged to be put to death was because he had spoken against the temple. So it was no small thing to speak against the temple. So they really thought they had Jesus with this one. Jesus, however, said nothing. Why not? Because he was going to do one thing that the scriptures plainly said. He was going to be like a sheep before his shearers is dumb. In other words, he was going to be someone who, when he was brought to trial, when they bring these obviously false charges against him, he's not even going to bother to reply. And you know what? By not replying, it just made Caiaphas all the more upset. Not only could they find no false witnesses against Jesus, but now Jesus wouldn't even try to defend himself. This made Caiaphas very, very upset. And so he thought, this is something that we have to somehow find something against him that we can bring him charges against him so that we can put him to death. Caiaphas, however, was a very shrewd man. And even though they could not find anything against Jesus up to this point, Caiaphas suddenly thought of something. He said, I'm going to ask him point blank if he is the Son of God, if he is truly the Christ, the Messiah. If he answers yes, then we've got him, because he will be declaring that he is the Messiah, and we'll know that that's a false charge. In their mind, it was. And so Caiaphas looked at Jesus and said, I want to ask you something. Are you Messiah? Are you the Son of God? And Jesus now, for the first time, answers Caiaphas. And he doesn't hold back testifying to the fact. He said, you said it. You want to know who I am? You asked me if I'm the Christ? You said it. I am the Christ. And what's more, I am more than that. I am the Messiah who is one day going to come again. And you, Mr. Caiaphas, are going to see me when I come again upon the clouds of heaven and appear before all men. And you're going to see that I am everything that I claim to be. Oh, man. Caiaphas was really upset. Now he thought, boy, we have definitely got him. We've definitely found him guilty. He's said that he's Messiah, that he is essentially God himself. Now, again, was this a false testimony? No. No, it wasn't. They didn't understand that if they really had taken the time to go back into the scriptures and search and study, they could have found out that everything he was just telling them right there was true. Jesus had said what? All these things about him, and everything that Jesus had said was something that was going to be true. For example, the scripture says about him as Messiah, where was he going to be born? Well, we know from the scriptures that it tells us that in the book of Micah, we are told, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that Jesus Christ would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. Where was Messiah going to be born? In Bethlehem. Jesus Christ certainly had every right to claim to be Messiah. He was born in Bethlehem too. What else? The Bible says too in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 that he would not only be born in Bethlehem, but that he would be born of a virgin. He would be one who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. This is something too that they had not put back together. After all, they had a hard time understanding the spirit world, these people. And so they didn't know anything about that. And yet, Jesus Christ, by claiming these things, by being shown to be virgin-born, is showing what? That he is the Messiah, the one that was predicted right there in Isaiah chapter 7, long before this. You know, the more you study prophecy, friends, the more you're going to find out that the Bible's always right. It just keeps coming back. The prophecies of Scripture show themselves to be true again and again and again and again. What else does the Bible say? Well, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, we were told in the Old Testament that Jesus Christ, when he came, that he would be born of David's line. That is, he would be born of the family line of David. Did this come true? Yes, indeed. He was born of David's line. And again, showing that he had another right to claim to be the Messiah. You see, if these people had really wanted the facts and not just their falsehoods, they could have found out these things, but they didn't bother. They were more interested in their own opinions and so forth. What else are we told in the Bible? We are told that Jesus would perform many great and mighty works. Did Jesus ever do that when he was here on earth? Did he perform miracles again and again and again? Did he walk on the water? Did he feed the 5,000? Did he do all of these incredible miracles? Did he raise Lazarus from the dead? All of these things were predicted about him, that he was going to be able to do all of these things. They were all there in the Old Testament scriptures. But if your mind is already made up, you know how it is. Some people say, well, my mind's already made up. I know what I think. Don't confuse me with the facts. And that's what happened here. Look at something else that is said to be about Jesus. We are told in Zechariah 9:9 that when Jesus would come into Jerusalem and be declared the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for a brief time, when he would come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey on Palm Sunday, all of that was predicted just the way it happened. By the way, go back and read the prophecy of Daniel that talks about this too, and you'll find out that the prophecy about Jesus coming into Jerusalem riding on the colt of a donkey, that it happened on the exact day that was predicted in Daniel's prophecy too. Not just does Zechariah predict this is going to happen, but Zechariah says it, but Daniel tells us the day that it's going to come. And it happened to the day. One of the great scholars in Great Britain, by the name of Sir Robert Anderson, studied this and looked in it in great detail and found out that Jesus Christ historically came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on just the day that he was predicted that he was going to the date. Pretty amazing, isn't it? What do you think of that? Somebody's not Messiah? Oh, all the evidence indicated otherwise, that he is the Messiah. What else about him? Well, we know that he would be despised and rejected of men, that he would be a man of sorrows, Isaiah chapter 53. Did that come true? Was he despised of men? Did they mock him? Look at the story here we see this morning. They mocked him, they spit at him, they slapped him. That certainly doesn't look like much of a carriage of justice here, does it? They didn't even check out the facts, let alone bring him to a fair and honest trial. But once again, we see Jesus fulfilled the prophecies regarding his messiahship. And so we see again and again and again, these things are declared throughout the Bible to show that Jesus really fulfilled the promises of Messiah. So what did these people do? All they could think of, ha, we found him here. He claimed to be Messiah. He claimed to be God. Therefore, he cannot live because he's committed blasphemy. Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? Yes, indeed. When we read throughout the scriptures, we see this again and again. What do we know from the Gospel of John? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. It's clearly declared in the pages of the Bible. And what's more, we see that again and again. We find these testimonies indicating that he is not only declared to be God, but he is also declared to be the Son of Man who would fulfill all the different prophetic prophecies that were coming. By the way, my friends, that same thing is true in regard to the future. Not every prophecy yet that is in Scripture has yet come true, but you know what? It will. In fact, as they are being fulfilled many times, again and again and again. The Bible tells us that in the last days we can expect to see Israel rise up again as a nation. And that she would rise up as a nation after many, 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 many years, hundreds of years, where she did not exist as a nation. And yet all of a sudden in 1848, what happens? A nation is born that people thought would never come back again, but God had said, no, in the latter days, I'm going to bring my people back. I'm going to restore them. It's going to happen. You know, when God declares something to be true, it's prophetically reliable, it's going to happen. We can depend on it. So don't just think, well, it's nice that a couple of things in the past seem to have been fulfilled, but realize the fact that what God has declared is still going to be fulfilled even more and more. There are going to be more and more forthcoming in the days ahead. We don't know how soon that will be. We're not going to make wild predictions here. It's not our right to try to predict the last day or whatever. That's not our place. But on the other hand, the Bible does tell us that all these things are going to happen just the way God said. And so we see that while they were looking for false declarations, Jesus Christ was one who was affirming a true declaration. He was affirming that he was, in fact, Messiah. R.C.H. Linsky, a Lutheran commentator, one time said, there are many people who claim that it never teaches anywhere in the Bible that Jesus claimed to be Messiah. But as Linsky himself pointed out, that was not true. It is claimed that Jesus was the Messiah. And one of the places that we find that is right here in the scriptures that we have before us. The man said, are you the Son of God? Are you the Messiah who is coming? Are you this one? What did Jesus say? And he said, well, no, I'm not like some people think I am. No, he didn't say that. He said, it's even as you say. You've got it right. Everything you've had up till now, Mr. Caiaphas, has been wrong. But this is one thing that you have right. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I am the one who is coming. I am the one who is going to fulfill all these prophecies to show that God's word is going to be true again and again and again. And so there was a great testimony right there. Historically, people have seen again and again and again that these things are true. No matter what people say, oh, it doesn't say that anywhere that Jesus was the Messiah. Sure it does. Just start studying the Bible. Just start reading it. Don't just take somebody's opinion. That's the worst thing you can do, is just go around and believe somebody's opinion or something because somebody just happens to shoot from the hip And they declare some things to be true, but, you know, check it out. I'll tell you what we really need nowadays in our world is we need more people in the church today who are like the ancient Bereans. Remember the Berean church in the book of Acts? What was so special about them? When the Apostle Paul went out and taught the word of God and so forth to them, what did they do? I mean, this is Paul, right? This is a man that is an apostle of God. This is a man who even raised people from the dead. And yet, they didn't even take what he had to say unless they first of all did what? They checked it out. Paul says, you did the right thing. He says, you searched the scriptures to see if these things are so. You're checking it out. You're looking it over. That's the only thing that matters. It's not the opinion of men. It's not what some talk show expert on television says. It's not any of those things that people consider so significant. It's not some book that somebody comes out with. A few years ago, we've had another book. You know, another one claiming that all this stuff about Jesus is all false and all that. You know what? The more you look at it, the more you find out everything that the Bible says about Jesus is fulfilled or is coming to be fulfilled. It's going to be that way because he's God. He's the Son of God. He's Messiah. And so, on this occasion, with all the evidence staring them right there in the face, if they wanted to see it, all they could think about was, we've got something that we can convict him on. Now, the one thing they had to do, of course, was they had to get permission from the Romans to be able to go ahead and kill Jesus. They could convict him under their own Jewish laws, but they could not get him sentenced to death. Only the Romans could do that. And that's why, as we've said here, there are several different stages of trials that are coming. There's going to be a trial in front of Pilate, and one before Herod, and another one before Pilate again. All these things had to occur so that Jesus might be brought to the cross. But you see, even that does not show that Jesus was false, or that he was a liar, or that the things that were said about him were untrue. On the contrary, it says that he is all that the scriptures claim that he is. Again and again and again, we see it coming through and being fulfilled. What had Jesus told his own disciples? He said, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and they're going to convict me there, and they're going to crucify me there, and after 3 days, I'm going to rise again from the dead. And Jesus told his disciples that not just once, but three different times in a row. And yet, the disciples themselves even seemed to have ignored a lot of what had been said. I mean, can you imagine that the very disciples of Jesus were having questions about some of the things that he declared? They couldn't quite believe it could be, this is all going to happen. But you know what? Who did remember it in the end? Well, the false teachers did. Who were the ones who came to the leaders and said, give us a guard. We want to make sure that the tomb is well sealed and documented. We want to have a large army down there, a large number of people. Remember when they arrested Jesus, they went out there in a sizable crowd. We saw that last week. But when they want to put Jesus in the tomb, they're going to want to put him in a tomb where there's many, many soldiers there so that there will be absolutely no way that they can ever say that Jesus rose from the dead. Guess what? Jesus rose from the dead. Where are all those guards? We find them running to the Jewish leaders and being paid off. False witnesses. Then amazing people will do anything just to have it their own way. To even get money if it takes telling falsehood. And that whole thing happened just the way, you know, the scriptures tell us. But in all of this, we find the saddest thing of all, that the people who had been longing for Messiah to come, longing for God to appear, longing to see Israel's King of Kings and Lord of Lords come, what do? They slapped him. They mocked him. They spit at him. They beat him. Does that look like a fair trial to you? Not at all. It wasn't a fair trial. It was so obviously false. And yet, again, they did this very thing because they would not believe. There is none so blind as he who will not see. And that's what was true about these people. They would not see. The facts were plainly evident there, but they would not see. They didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to know the truth. They didn't want to see things for themselves. And so, eventually they are now on the way to bringing him to the cross and putting him subsequently to death. One of the greatest tragedies in all of human history. Greatest miscarriages of justice. People who were the religious leaders, and yet they were people who would not let the truth be known. That's tragic. That's unfortunate. And that's exactly what happened here. So we find that another stage of this whole trial is taking place. They're winding up this one before Caiaphas. Now they will have to move on to the next situation. While all of this is going on, the next one has to do with the account regarding Peter. Did Peter see that this was all true? Not initially. You say, how could that be? Peter was a great apostle. He was a great leader. How could he be wrong in this? How could he be false? Well, you look at the scriptures with me next time and you'll see. Again and again and again, if people are determined not to believe a certain thing, they can be led into almost anything. How do so many people, you know, declare themselves to accept blindly and falsely false teaching? Why do they do that? Because they won't look at the facts. They won't look at the truth. But you know what? You don't want to be that way. Study the scriptures. Search them out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? Thou shalt be saved. That's what the scripture says. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again and again and again, we see Jesus declaring and the scriptures declaring all of these things are true. You know what? I'm just hoping that every one of you can be able to say here this morning, I know these things are true. I believe them with all my heart. I don't just believe them intellectually. I believe them emotionally and from my very heart of hearts. I believe it with all my heart because I know that the scriptures teach these things. And that's what matters. It's not, you know, whether people like us because of what we believe or what they think about us, but do we really believe that Jesus is all that he said he was? Or do we believe that he is all that the Bible teaches that he is? Nobody else can give us clearer truth. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. Nobody comes to the Father but by him. And so you see that Caiaphas had it all wrong, even though he was a great leader in Jerusalem. He had it not only all wrong, but he was all wrong himself. You imagine what it would be like for a man like that to come to the end of his life and pass into the next world and find that all the things that he had taught and forced people to accept, that they were all false. Think about that. People who die apart from Christ have nothing to look forward to. But people who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have everything to look forward to. They have life now and they have life to come. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ now, you have eternal life. Nobody can take that from you. God gives to us eternal life, and that whoever calls on him will not be put to shame. And so let's close with prayer now today as we want to reflect on these things again as they relate to our salvation at this time of the year. Our Father in heaven, we come to you now and we pray that these stories that we have heard will realize that they're not just stories. They're not just clever little details. They're things that have been well documented and well taught. Things that can be proven, things that can be shown to be true again and again and again. Lord, help us to believe in you. Help us to put all of our faith and trust in you. Help us to realize that there is no one else that who can be our Savior, but that in Christ we have everything that we need, both now and for the life that is to come. We pray this now, asking it in Jesus' name. Amen.